The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's hear this one more time. Trevor Lawrence gives his Waffle House order. He went to Waffle House after his first playoff win where the Chargers are up 27-0. He threw four interceptions, and then Trevor Lawrence led that comeback.
That night, I got the Texas bacon cheesesteak with hash browns with cheese and a pecan waffle. So it just, it depends. Yeah, I was. So sometimes I get the all-star, you know, depends how I'm feeling.
Now when you win a big game, or if you win the Super Bowl, and I'm not saying the Jaguars are going to do that, but whenever Trevor Lawrence, if he does win a Super Bowl in this league, it's not going to be, I'm going to Disneyland. It's I'm going to the Waffle House. They got to make sure that they have that endorsement signed, sealed, and delivered for whenever he wins. That's the first thing that he says. I'm going to the Waffle House. That's awesome. I absolutely love, as we said in the last hour, you think star quarterback, okay, you go to a club, you're young, you party it up with all your friends, or you go to some fancy schmancy restaurant. No, you go be with the real people in Duval. You go get some Waffle House, go eat some greasy food, and that's great. You know what that would be the equivalent of, Hickey, for us? Going to like a diner on Long Island. There's so many great diners on Long Island that are just open 24 hours. I had one right by my house growing up as a kid. And sometimes, not that I'm comparing myself to Trevor Lawrence, obviously, because it's not a similar moment. But there would be many times after I'd do that weekend overnight, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, go take the hour drive home back to my folks' house when I used to do the weekend overnights. 7 a.m., walk right into that premier diner after no sleep. Oh, delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Did you get a standing ovation like Trevor Lawrence did when he walked in after a great show?
Actually got booed. Let's go to Patrick Mahomes. He says the Chiefs are ready for the playoffs.
I think you build up for this all season long. And the regular season, you take it week by week. But you want to be here in the playoffs, and you know you're going to play the best football teams in the league, and that's what you want to do as a competitor. And so I'm excited to get to go up against a great football team at Arrowhead. That's always a good time.
What's your biggest concern with Kansas City entering the playoffs?
Their defense.
In a weird way, and I did not subscribe to this theory before the season or during the season, but we've seen the last few years Kansas City get in these games. How many times have we seen them fall behind and they dig themselves such a deep hole and they're able to climb themselves out of it? This is the first time all year, and I'm not trying to diminish the importance of what Tyreek Hill did all those years during the regular season, but I thought they were going to have a tremendous regular season. I thought it was between them and the Chargers to win the AFC West. But a big part of Tyreek is that one play, home run shot, get in the deep ball, and you're able to make up the deficit so quickly because how you could go quickly get a score, then go get a stop, and then another score. Now, Travis Kelce played a big role in that as well. He's still there, and clearly Mahomes. I just wonder, and I'm just curious to see, and this is what I would love to see, them go down 10-0 against Jacksonville right out of the gate. And I just want to see for the first time this year if they actually miss Tyreek Hill. Because there's not been a moment this year, really, where you said, oh, they missed Tyreek Hill. And I just wonder, with their season really starting now in the playoffs, number one seed once again, if they go down big like they have up against the Texans and the Bills and the Niners. Like, how many times have we seen this in the playoffs if they're able to climb themselves out of that hole without Tyreek Hill? Just something to think about. All righty, let's keep it moving. Patrick Mahomes says the Chiefs aren't taking the Jaguars lightly.
They're a talented team. I knew that the first time we played them. You can see the talent that they had. They were flying around to the football. They made a few mistakes here and there, and that's why we kind of got the win the first time. But we understand how good this football team is and how much of a challenge it's going to be for us to go out there and try to find a way to get a win. And so we're trying to prepare ourselves the best way possible that we can find a way to win it there on Saturday.
There's a lot of familiarity with all the coaching matchups this weekend. Like Doug Peterson, his mentor is Andy Reid. Daboll, Sirianni, they go up against each other. Now with Daboll's coach there twice a year. McDermott and Taylor, a few weeks ago, they were preparing for one another, and they know that they've been the best two teams in the in the AFC for most of the season, at least the way that I viewed it, even though Kansas City's the one seed. And then McCarthy-Shanahan, we saw this matchup last year in the postseason. So a lot of familiarity with a lot of these coaching staffs, and even though some of those matchups go back to last year or earlier in the year, you just wonder what you're able to do a little bit differently this time around. Let's go to Nick Sirianni. We'll play you this once again. Here is Sirianni and his meal of choice while watching the Giants-Vikings game.
I was like kind of craving a Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza, which is, I haven't had that in a while. That's not something I get to get at home. So we had that. It was in the offensive staff room. Yeah, I won't get into that, Howard.
Competitive advantage.
It's kind of weird, Hickey, because we put all these coaches on such pedestals, how they're kind of like one of us. For example, the one time this company this year bought us pizza for Ion Football, it was not like from some great pizza spots in New York City. It was, I forget where the pizza was from, but it wasn't the greatest pizza in the world. It was what you would expect when the company, any company, would kind of buy a bunch of pizzas for the entire office. You're looking at a lower quality of pizza. Not that these coaches are begging for change, but if the coach wants the stuffed crust pizza, is it just like all the other, like a college student sitting around, oh, I want some stuffed crust pizza, or we're going in for a big fraternity house, let's just go get something cheap. Does that like play a role in that at all when you're ordering for a group of people that big?
Who's paying for it? I'm assuming Sirianni, right?
I guess. I'm sure the team reimburse him if he really wants to.
Hey, is Jeffrey Lurie going to be saying, "All right, fellas, what are you ordering today? Let's keep it on the low. We got 20 guys here. Let's keep it. You know,
if I was Jeffrey Lurie, here's what I'll say: keep your receipts. You win, I'll pay for your pizza. You lose, it's on you.
Wow, and you're walking them too after the game.
Now I could only go off previous experience. If I'm going Domino's. If I'm going Pizza Hut, you gotta maybe have something in the system. That's all I'm gonna say once again on that topic. In a sober state of mind, I have never said, now, if they start giving me endorsement, that's a different thing. But in a sober state of mind, I've never said, I want some Pizza Hut. I've only wanted Pizza Hut if, let's say, you had too many drinks. Late night, or if maybe you were doing a little puff, puff, pass. That's it.
Hopefully, Daryl Philbin from The Office is listening because sponsorship opportunities are available on the Zach Gelb Show for Pizza Hut.
Yeah, I love me some Pizza Hut. Love me some Pizza Hut.
At least their commercial's not as bad as other fast food restaurants that would not be named for free advertising.
Which one?
The only one that's been playing 24/7.
BK?
Oh.
Have it your way.
The worst.
That hasn't really bothered me. That bothers you? I've seen a lot of people.
Oh my god!
Get bothered
I feel
by
like
it.
it's in my head 24/7. How are they?
Well, that's good marketing then.
How are they making this much money? Where basically it's on TV 24/7. Any commercial in any sporting event, the first one is always boom. That one. Either they are going to go bankrupt in like 3 months.
No.
Or
it's fast
they
food.
Are doing
people love fast
insanely
food.
Good.
Yeah.
Better than I ever would have anticipated because mm-hmm. they are.
The Applebee's commercials from remember like 2 years ago? I think it was at the AFC Championship game where you could barely even hear the CBS crew, and they had the Applebee's song.
That was a great one.
On a late night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was tough. That was annoying.
That commercial was also very catchy as well. And then I think the shortest-lived, catchiest commercial maybe ever was the regarding like fast food was the Russell Wilson Dangerwich.
It's a real shame that it's off the menu that fast, too. That's R.I.P.
All righty, let's keep it moving. Here is Nick Sirianni on if the Giants are a different team compared to when they played them the first time in Week 14.
There's some different things that they're doing. Obviously, you know, they're good coaches, and they got good players. And when you have good coaches, you know, they're going to adapt to what they're doing well. And they had a bye week over the time that we played them, and they've had, you know, some time off. They've had, you know, time to self-diagnose. And so sure, because those, you know, because Wink and Dable and Kafka and all that, and Bobby Johnson and Mike Groh, because all those guys I respect a lot, and they're good coaches. You know, they're going to figure out what they're doing well, and they're going to try to repeat that. And so, sure, you see some differences in that aspect.
Out of all the coaches in the NFL, if you had to party with one coach, is Sirianni the guy you want to party with the most?
Top of my head, no. I would say Dan Campbell for sure.
Oh, that's
on
a good
top
one.
Of him.
Now, because Sirianni, he just seems like a regular dude. He comes
he
off as a regular dude. I think he'd be a fun guy.
Raving Pizza Hut, stuffed crust pizza.
Yeah, to go out to a bar with, drink like a few beers, and then go get some like disgusting food with. I think
Robert
Andy Reid would be fun.
Could be, have a good time.
Too serious. He'd be keeping Andy all the receipts
from
the meals.
Would definitely eat well for sure. We'd have some good burgers. I'm in on that.
Like, I'm going through all the coaches. I think Dan Campbell, absolutely. Andy Reid, you definitely get a good meal.
Mike McDaniel, I think, would be a low-key good time. He's always that funny guy in the group, I think.
He's too bizarre for me. AFC North, Tomlin definitely has great stories. AFC South, I feel like Doug would be good to go. Oh, Vrabel. You tell me Vrabel.
Vrabel would crush
Vrabel
20
is
beers.
Is a party animal.
In a two-hour period.
Let's see. Anyone else that... You know who actually wouldn't be? I know he's fired, but Cliff Kingsbury.
I bet there's some good looking
women
with
him around
right now,
him.
That's for sure.
Yeah, Thailand too, and I bet you, especially with that estate that he has and the way that he looks, there's definitely some good looking women around him. All right, that's where I probably draw the line in the sand.
And Cliff, okay.
You know who it probably used to be? The best.
You say Pete Carroll?
No, I didn't think Pete.
Said used to, so I'm trying to think older.
No, just he's no longer head coach in this league.
Oh.
Bruce Arians.
Bruce tossed him back.
It's a guy that texts a lot in whiskey emojis. Every time you text Bruce Arians, he always gives you back a whiskey emoji with whatever is being
living
said.
Right.
So he came on with us in the NFC title game. Right after the NFC title game, he came on with us. And then after they won the Super Bowl, I reached back out. I was like, hey, coach, can you join us again? And he goes... Brother, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be drunk for the next 24 hours. That is a guy that definitely knows how to party. All right, let's go to John Fossil, the special teams coach for the Dallas Cowboys, and if Brett Maher will be the Cowboys kicker on Sunday.
Hell yeah. If you ask me, absolutely.
And then he was asked if yips are a real thing for a kicker.
I believe in the yips, and I believe in the hot hand. You know, and he had a hot hand. You know, let's face it, he only missed four kicks all season, a PAT, a 49-yarder, and 257-yarders. And then, you know, the yips happened, so I'd expect, you know, a hot hand coming up. And then Levi Stadium, in my experience there, is not an easy place to kick. You know, there's grass, there's probably some conditions, and there's definitely wind factor, so let's go. What else do we want?
It's kind of funny that leading into... Cowboys and Niners, the biggest story right now between these two great teams of like great talent. You look at the 49ers, you got Debo Samuel, you got Christian McCaffrey, the emergence of Brock Purdy. You got Nick Bosa. Like, you look at all the talent the Niners have, and for the Cowboys, you got Dak, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott. The biggest topic of conversation right now is a freaking kicker. Now, I get it. He missed four extra points. But when you have those two teams, with the history of those two teams, I would have never thought in a million years, Hickey, before a divisional round game, that the biggest storyline so far this week would be about a kicker.
That press conference was 18 minutes. No disrespect to special teams coordinator John Fossil, but 18 minutes, again, mostly about Brett Maher. But
what else are you asking?
This is a huge game, and here we are spending 20 minutes talking about a kicker.
I know he gives some long-winded responses, but what else are you asking about the kicker?
He did detail some drama in the game on Monday that the Cowboys were almost out of kicking balls because he missed two and missed two so bad. They're in the stands. I guess they couldn't get him back. I didn't know that you only bring three kicking balls to a game.
And this is also the first time I've ever heard a special teams coordinator be available. Like, when I covered the Eagles almost on a daily basis in Philadelphia, during the week, the OC and the DC would be made available. This is such a big story. We got to go trot out John Fossil, Bones. Yeah, we got to go trot him out and speak at the podium. I know in Dallas, right, the drama Cowboys, Dallas Cowboys, they let anyone speak. Jerry Jones holds court before the game, during the game, after the game. But you got the special teams coordinator, who's a popular guy. Remember my Hard Knocks with the Rams when he's on the surfboard and all that? With the sunscreen on his nose, but come on. What are we doing here? Can't McCarthy just speak for the special teams unit?
I thought he gave him a vote of confidence the other day, but I guess it wasn't enough. Or we got to talk to the coach.
What's the next biggest storyline in that game? Because you would agree the kicker's the biggest storyline right now. Brett Maher, who I hope kicks a game-winning like 55-yard field goal and just says bleep off to everyone.
I guess from a Cowboys perspective, probably Dak's play.
But Dak's coming off a good game.
But there's a cliff between Brett Maher right now and every other storyline.
Because the big stories for the Cowboys all throughout the year, Dak's struggling and McCarthy's on the hot seat. After last week, Dak played great and McCarthy coached his ass off. So it's like, it's a little weird this week to say, oh, McCarthy's on the hot seat because I don't think he is. And can Dak regress? Yeah, absolutely. But Dak just played maybe the best game he's ever played. So it's weird timing of that. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM who just wrapped up his first year in Minnesota's asset, the Vikings, will give Kirk Cousins an extension this offseason.
You know, it's our expectation that he'll be our quarterback. I can't say exactly how that would look. Again, we have everything at our disposal. We'll consider all those things just like we will with everybody else on the roster.
I don't know about you, Hickey, but with how many extensions Kirk Cousins has received, and don't get me wrong, the guy is a good quarterback in this league. You're 1 year away from having any obligations to Kirk Cousins. I would not go give him an extension that locks you into him for the foreseeable future. I would not, in the way that how many quarterbacks have got traded, I would kind of play it safe, let him play out this year, and then you go from there when talking about Kirk Cousins.
Do you give him another 1 year deal? He's got what? Is it 2 years in a row now he's getting a 1 year extension?
I would just keep it where it is.
Let him go in as a lame duck? I don't think you're wrong, to be honest. Give yourself flexibility. If he plays well, pay him. If not...
Because, like, if Lamar Jackson doesn't get traded this offseason, then maybe he gets traded next offseason. Or if Rodgers becomes available, not that the Packers would trade him to Minnesota, but if Rodgers pulls a Favre and sits out a year and then goes, up, I'm going to Minnesota, I think you want to leave your options open. Because Kirk's good, but he's not a you-got-to-have type of quarterback in this league. And finally, this audio is disturbing. Brandon Staley was asked on if he thinks he was out-coached by Doug Peterson on Saturday night.
Oh, Bill, I thought it was a tight game. I thought that for a half, I wouldn't say that was the case for a half. You know, I think at the end of the game, that team that we were playing showed a lot of fight, a lot of resilience. I thought it was a high-quality game against two teams that are both young and hungry. And so I thought it was just a high-level game all the way around. And so I think Doug's an outstanding coach, and I know that we were coaching at a high level, and hopefully we're going to get another chance at those guys.
How about the ego and the lack of accountability coming from the head coach of Los Angeles Chargers and Brandon Staley? Oh, hell, Coach Doug Peterson in the first half. Football is 60 minutes, you dummy. You were spotted a 27-0 lead. And you still couldn't find a way to win a game. If you're asked, hey, coach, were you out coached by Doug Peterson? Absolutely. We had a 27-point lead, and I couldn't find any answers to go win a football game. Don't say, oh, well, if you just look at the first half. Oh, I wouldn't say that. Oh, my God. That's such an analytical, nerd, just dumb response. I can't take that. You are a leader. You are a leader of men in that organization. You don't just break it up into two halves. You sucked on Saturday night. You were horrible on Saturday night. It's even more embarrassing that you dominated the first half and you didn't have your team show up in the second half. But all the first 30 minutes, if we only break it down in the first 30 minutes, I out-coached Doug Peterson. Means nothing. That's bad. Hickey, I know we've both been in the same boat here, that we didn't think he was going to get fired. Even though we thought he should be fired, he absolutely should be fired now after giving that pathetic response to the media.
That tells me he thought he was close to being fired or maybe was going to get fired.
How?
Because I think now you sense a lot of defensiveness of him trying to just stave off of why he wasn't trying to say he was outcoached fully. He admitted the second half did not go his way. I think he realized, I kind of barely skated out of that, and I'm not going to say anything more to change the owner's mind. Again, I think if you say, I was outcoached, I would agree that's the right answer, and I think you don't get criticized. I think in his mind, it's like, well, then why am I here then? Why am I still here?
You know what? That is an interesting response by you. And at first, I wanted to just say, what the heck are you talking about? But that is a fair response. I, though, took it, and this is just another person interpreting something different, as I'm safe. Everyone bleep off. I'm not going to admit to you people in the media that I was out coaching this game. I'm going to tell you how great I was for 30 minutes, and nothing will happen to me. That's a News Brief, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We have kicking news, Hickey. Any idea what it could be?
Well, it has to be only one kicker, right? Brian Maher is... There's been competition brought in.
No.
Oh.
We have kicking news, Hickey. It is not Brett Maher. Any idea what other kicking news could be out there? You would have thought it would be Brett Maher because that's the biggest storyline in Cowboys 49ers for this weekend is Brett Maher. But breaking news a minute ago from Adam Schefter, Schefty, with some big, 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 and I mean big, kicking news.
Is it that Harrison Butker is out?
No. Seattle Seahawks gave a new four-year $21.1 million deal worth up to $22.6 million with incentives to kicker Jason Myers, whose contract was set to expire in March, per a source. Myers tied to the team through the 2026 season. So one big domino to fall in Seattle. The next up, let's see what the contract's going to be for one Geno Smith.
Wow, they prioritized the kicker's contract over Geno. Interesting.
I think
Pete Carroll back at it again.
Maybe since Pete was worried about his own game this weekend when he was going back and watching some of the highlights from around the rest of the league, or you know, he was sitting there on Monday night after his team was eliminated. Maybe he wasn't like Cliff Kingsbury and was just going to Thailand and getting ready to vacation, even though Cliff lost his job and Pete Carroll still has a job. Maybe he just wanted to be still a good football fan, a good football coach, and watch the teams that are keep on playing, and maybe he's watching that Cowboys game up against the Buccaneers and was like, wow, this Brett Maher guy, he can't make an extra point, so I got to go extend my kicker in Jason Myers. That's what I think this is about.
And you also saw the Ravens recently pay Roquan Smith $100 million and said, oh, you know, another organization that pays anyone but the quarterback. I'm in. Let's do it. Who can we pay? The kicker? Oh, what the hell? Let's do it.
I'm fascinated to see what the Geno Smith contract is going to be. Because you look at three teams, and earlier we were starting off the show talking about Lamar Jackson, where he could wind up next, and the odds that are out there. Patriots right now, plus 400. I don't think he's going to the Pats. Jets are alive for Lamar. You would think they'd be desperate enough to do so, plus 500. Falcons and Raiders at plus 600. If the Raiders don't get Brady, Lamar, with the weapons on that team, with Davante Adams, Darren Waller, and Hunter Renfrow, and if you franchise tag Josh Jacobs, yeah, I would be interested if I'm the Raiders. The Falcons, I think anyone in the NFC South is going to be interested. Bucks, if they lose Brady, should be interested. And you know, the other three teams in the NFC South all tried to go make big plays last year for Deshaun Watson, so they're willing to pay a pretty penny, not only with draft picks, but also what it would cost to go get what you would think and be perceived to be a franchise quarterback. Niners at plus 700, I'd be surprised. Commanders, I think the Commanders are a wonderful destination, but with the uncertainty around the ownership of the team, is Dan Snyder going to go make a move like that if he is about to go sell the team? Tennessee at plus 800, it makes sense for them. They need an upgrade compared to Ryan Tannehill. And you got the Panthers at plus 1,000. You know, Tepper's always looking to go make a big move. But we were talking about other teams like the Saints and the Dolphins being some other potential destinations. But then we got to three teams that have quarterbacks right now, and two are under contract, one is not. And I think all three of those quarterbacks are considered, with what they just did this past year, to have really good seasons. Like Kirk Cousins had a good season this year in Minnesota. Jared Goff played like a top five quarterback in the NFC this year. Geno Smith had the most passing yards in an individual season for any quarterback in the history of the Seattle Seahawks franchise. But I look at all three of those quarterbacks. Do you think Jared Goff is going to work long-term in Detroit? Do you think Geno Smith is going to work long-term in Seattle? And for Kirk Cousins, I know they were talking about a potential contract extension. He's got 1 year left. Kind of feels like if Kirk can't go out there and significantly improve in the playoffs next year, maybe it is time to just cut Kirk loose, and maybe you move on and you try to find something that is better. And if you could put, and I said this going back to the summer, if you could put Lamar Jackson with Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson, maybe the only more intriguing option out of the realistic options would be the Dolphins with the speed of Tyreek Hill and also Jalen Waddle. So I'm looking around this entire thing right now, and you look at the Lions, the Vikings, and Seattle. I just wonder what they do this offseason. And I think Kirk, he's locked in, so he's not going anywhere. So it's really more a conversation for him next year. But you look at Seattle and Detroit. Yeah, I do think Jared Goff's going to be there next year. Is there a rookie quarterback on the roster? Do you wait to go see where he is a year from now, and when next year he'd be going into the final year of his contract? He has two more years left on that contract. Like, that's a possibility. And then for Seattle, like, Geno Smith had a heck of a year this year. Geno Smith, up until that fumble, played really well in the playoff game. I do believe that Geno Smith's going to get a long-term extension, but how many years is he going to actually see on that long-term extension? So those three teams to me, Hickey, in an NFC that, compared to the AFC, like, you know who the dominant quarterbacks are in the AFC. You know it's Joe Burrow. You know it's Patrick Mahomes. You know it's Josh Allen. You know it's Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert. You then look at the NFC. You don't know how much longer Brady and Rodgers are going to be in the NFC or playing football. Dak's a good quarterback. Is he a great quarterback? I'm not ready to say that. So you look around, Kyler Murray, banged up. And there's questions if he could be great. You know, Justin Fields had a really good year. Am I ready to call him a great quarterback? No, he's got to show me more. So the AFC is filled with great quarterbacks. The NFC, not so much. And it shows you how kind of thin and how bare the quarterback play was this year in the NFC when Geno Smith, and I'm not taking anything away from Geno, had a good year. But he shouldn't be a top five quarterback in the NFC. Jared Goff shouldn't be a top five quarterback in the NFC. Now, they played like it, but there wasn't like this great competition in the NFC this year when you look at the quarterback position. So do you think you could win with those guys
and I mean win a Super Bowl, or in a few years from now, are you looking elsewhere? And for Jared Goff, I don't think he's, even though he played really well this year, I don't think he's going to be the long-term quarterback of the Lions. Kirk Cousins, let's see if he gets another year or two or three on that contract with one more year left on that deal. And for Seattle, I think they'll give Geno a 3 or 4 year deal, but I'll be very curious, Hickey, how that contract's going to be structured and if there's going to be some outs in that contract. If maybe this year for Geno Smith was a one-hit wonder, or for Jared Goff, who we've seen him have success before in this league, maybe if he starts to go back to the Jared Goff, which was a reason why Sean McVay wanted to get rid of him in the first place.
Especially for the Seahawks and the Lions, because they have, you know, picks in the top 10. It's fascinating because out of the three, I have the most confidence in actually Jared Goff of maybe succeeding and breaking through in terms of winning a Super Bowl out of the other, you know, two quarterbacks in Geno Smith and Kirk Cousins.
I would
agree,
and I think age also plays a factor into that as well.
Yes,
like absolutely. Jared Goff has not been around the block as long as Kirk Cousins and Geno Smith has been. For Kirk, I think there's limitations. For Geno, I think there's limitations. For Jared Goff, say what you want. I know he was horrible in that Super Bowl up against the Patriots. He's been to a Super Bowl before. And now in Detroit, when everyone wrote him off, the fact that we're even having this conversation shows where I don't know if he will ever be a great quarterback, but he could be a good quarterback. Like he may end up just being like Kirk Cousins, a guy that could go places, could go win you games, could go play well, but you never think you're actually going to go win the big one.
And the tough part for those two teams is, all right, do you say we got our guy, at least in the short term, and use those high draft picks, either trade down and get more picks or get, you know, a receiver or a defensive player and just kind of load up on your team? Or do you look at what the Chiefs did or the Bills did, and that was take a playoff team. Those two teams had to trade up to get their quarterbacks. You don't have to because you're sitting right there depending on what guy you like and if they fall to you. Or you have to trade, but you don't have to trade up that far. And you take a swing at trying to get your own Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes because you're right, but you look around the NFC, there's really not one guy that's going to run the conference the way you look at the three-headed monster in the AFC that's going to run the conference for most likely the next decade. And you look at the NFC playoffs, look at all the quarterbacks in there, where they're drafted compared to the AFC. AFC, all under 30, all top 10 picks. NFC, outside of Daniel Jones, no one taking the top 10.
And also, the first round. Remember for Detroit, Detroit's got two first-round picks. They're sitting at six. It's easy to move up from six to maybe one or six to like three to go get whoever the second quarterback is. If you want the first quarterback, obviously you can move up to one with the Bears, and you also have 18. So Detroit has picks right now. Two picks in the first round. They have a pick very early. Seattle, because of that trade with the Broncos and how it just blew up in the Broncos' face, they're at number five. So Chicago's not going to take a quarterback. Houston will. Arizona won't. Like, if the Colts, you would think the Colts would take a quarterback, but if they don't fall in love with someone or if they pick the other guy, your guy could be there for the Seahawks or the Lions. Like, let's just say the Bears don't trade the pick. Let's say they go with Jalen Carter, Will Anderson Jr., and the Texans take Bryce Young. And the Cardinals don't take a quarterback. And let's say the Colts, I think a lot of people would say C.J. Stroud's the second best quarterback in the draft. Maybe the Colts do their evaluation, and they say, we like Will Levis. Look, the Seahawks are sitting there. Lions are sitting there. You're both going to pass up on C.J. Stroud? When you don't have to play him right away, because you would have Goff's under contract for 2 years, and you would just have signed Geno Smith to a new deal, let's say on like a three-year deal. So it's very, those two teams, like Kirk's not going anywhere this year. Jared Goff's back next year. Seattle, I think they're going to get a deal done with Geno Smith. But do they look to where their draft position is to fill other areas? Or do they say, let's go get that quarterback of the future, and we're in a position where we don't have to play him right away? Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. Where do the 49ers go from here with Trey Lance? A little interesting conversation or emoji that Trey Lance used the other day.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught! Touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught. Touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Winter doesn't have to be boring and cold. Shipt same-day delivery can make winter fun and energizing. How? By skipping the store, you get more time for the fun stuff you actually want to do. Like crushing it at the gym. Or cranking up the oven to bake your heart out. Or just getting out of the house to see friendly faces. To get more time this winter, learn more at Shipt.com/winter. That's Shipt.com/winter.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I was not expecting this story today, but I guess it just falls in line with the NFL season, which has been expect the unexpected. So as we told you yesterday, Rand Carthon is going to be the new general manager for the Tennessee Titans. He comes over from San Francisco. Trey Lance, when responding, I guess, to one of these posts on Instagram that put a photo up of Rand and basically said that he was going to Tennessee to be a GM, had an emoji or three emojis that he posted on his story with his fingers being crossed. Now, Hickey, the only way that I could interpret that is it'd be one thing if you're close with this guy in the organization and you're wishing him well, and you do like the hands up emoji, like, yeah, that's my guy. Good job, Rand. Congratulations, all that. But when you're doing the crossing the fingers emoji, that's wishful thinking of I'm hoping, at least this is the way that I interpret it, that you go find a way to go trade for me, and maybe Trey Lance wants out of San Francisco. But if you're Trey Lance, I know Brock Purdy's playing great. And I know Brock Purdy is playing like a stud right now. But Trey Lance, you would think, would have that alpha mentality of, I was the third overall pick in the draft. I came from North Dakota State. I have the chip on my shoulder. And no, even though Brock's playing well, he's only on the field because I got hurt. Then that opened up the door for Jimmy G. Then Jimmy G got hurt. And then Brock Purdy got on the field. But I would think, I don't know if entitlement is the right word, but if you're Trey Lance, you're thinking that next year you're entitled to be the starting quarterback just based off how much that they gave up for you. Now, nothing's guaranteed, right? There was a time when Drew Bledsoe was a $100 million man, highest paid quarterback in the league, and he was replaced by Tom Brady because of an injury. But I thought that was bizarre last night when everything's going well for the Niners right now. No one's even talking about Trey Lance. But maybe Trey is getting the sense that he's potentially on the way out of the organization, or he's just frustrated with the organization. This is bizarre.
Frustrating's a good word because, like I said, he didn't play the first year. Now it's expected, so it's not like that was, you know, an upset outside of two games. And this is supposed to be the year, and in game two, you get hurt, you're out for the year. Now you're seeing a guy come in and just have all the success that you should be having. I mean, like I said, I'm with you. Like, when you put the fingers crossed emoji, that's kind of like insinuating, oh,
come get me.
Please come get me out of here. Let me have a fresh start or a real chance to get the job. But, I mean, I'm with you. Like, you would hope that he would be motivated and say, Brock Purdy's playing great now. Hope wins a Super Bowl. But next year, it's my job. I'm going to show everyone why they moved mountains to go get me a number three.
Well, let me clarify one thing after just giving more thought here. It may not be frustration with the organization. Now, I don't know what John Lynch and what Kyle Shanahan are telling him. I would think they'd be focused on the game this weekend, not the feelings of Trey Lance. But let's remember something. Trey Lance, it's only his second year in the league. Trey Lance, not that far removed from college. Trey Lance grew up in our kind of era that's so reliant on social media. And you have a Twitter, you have Instagram, you have Facebook. So it's not crazy to say that Trey Lance, even if he's not posting constantly, I don't know how much he's posting. I don't follow him religiously.
But maybe every day he's like all of us, where you wake up, you open up your Twitter, you open up Instagram. And maybe on his Twitter and his Instagram, which clearly he's gained more of a following now throughout the years from where it once was when it was really innocent being on those devices, there's a lot of conversation from people that have followed him and used to be supportive that are now just salivating and slobbering all over Brock Purdy and talking about Brock Purdy being the next face of the Niners. Like, when this initially happened, when Brock Purdy started to have some success, Bill Romanowski was on this show. And Bill Romanowski, who played with Joe Montana, right away said, I see some Joe Montana. And a friend of mine sent me an article. That Romanowski clip that was with us, which had to be now, what, a month and a half ago? If not more than that, like around there, month and a half. So, you know, give or take a few weeks, who knows? But that interview was put in another article over the weekend because I guess more and more people are starting to say, he's reminding us like Joe Montana. And I'm sure there's some people that are tweeting to Trey Lance because people are jerks on social media. You're going to lose your job. We want Brock Purdy. Hope they trade you this offseason or something like that. And maybe he's just frustrated with some of the fans because he's not feeling the love like when he was first drafted. And there's been a conversation if he even should have been the draft pick, and now people are going right to Brock Purdy because, duh, he's winning games. So maybe this is just a young 20-year-old that's affected by the social media noise, and he's like, I don't need the Niners. Tennessee has an opening. I don't know what his relationship is with the new general manager, but they're in the same organization. So let's do some fingers crossed emoji and hope that I get traded there. That's the way that I kind of view this. I don't think it's frustration with the team. Maybe it's frustration with the fan base because those fans are excited and elated and loving what they're seeing with Brock. And if I'm Trey Lance, I get it. You feel as if you're getting ignored. You feel as if they've already moved on and moved on to something else.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. The team's done nothing because, again, the plan was for him to basically redshirt last year. And again, for the most part, outside of two games, he did that. And he was given the job this year. There was, you know, they tried their damnedest to give it to trade Jimmy G. Didn't work. So it's not like they brought, you know, it's like there was this competition of, oh, it's going to be, you know, Trey Lance versus Jimmy G. We'll see what we got. It was Trey Lance's job from day one. And it's just unfortunate he got hurt early on. And nothing you can do about that. And you can't control the way the backup and the backup's backup plays. And you can't get mad about that.
I think this is a bad look for Trey Lance. I don't want to get too crazy into analyzing emojis, but this just seems very unnecessary. Because now it's going to become a story. People are going to talk about this. Well, are you happy? Do you even want to be here? What's the future? And if you're someone that feels like Brock Purdy's the guy, and then Trey Lance is posting this emoji of like basically insinuating, come get me, go trade for me. And I think that's the only way to look into it. It's more, you're pushing him more and more away from the organization, if you're a fan, I would say.
If you're the Tennessee Titans, would you look into it?
I guess you have to.
I don't know what you have to. I don't know what his trade value would be, but
that's the thing. I don't know what the Trey Lance trade value would be, and you're not going to get back nearly what you gave up. The guy's done nothing in this league,
and
it was questionable at the time. Remember the decision on who they even were going to trade for him when they give up all those assets. It was like, okay, you traded all that for him. Where there's a lot of uncertainty. So I don't know what it would be, but we know they don't believe in Malik Willis. Or Mike Vrabel doesn't believe in Malik Willis. He went to Joshua Dobbs. You know they don't love Ryan Tannehill. They like Ryan Tannehill. They don't love him. So if the new general manager says, I was in San Francisco. I was in San Francisco when they drafted him. This is why we drafted him, Mike. We think he would be good. And maybe they go get it. I don't know. Is it a second round pick? I don't know what it would be. If it's anything out of the first round for a quarterback that you may think is a potential franchise quarterback, may end up being a bargain. But I don't know if Trey Lance could play in this league. Because going back to our conversation from the draft, everything I heard about this guy, and I've talked to Trey Lance before, when you speak to him, he blows you away. He's impressive when you talk to him. He comes off as a guy that's a leader of men. But everyone said, oh, high ceiling, high ceiling, high ceiling. Like, I'll be honest with you. We didn't see him a lot at North Dakota State. I know the numbers are good, but the guy's played football in 3 years. So I don't know what you're trading for. Coaching Carousel next.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws caught.
touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.